We are studying the will of God for us. And we studied last week what God's will is for mankind. A couple of verses I want to give. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4.
Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father.
Now he says, when he gave himself, that's Jesus Christ. And he says, why he gave himself for mankind, for our sins, means get rid of our sins. And then he said that he might deliver us from the present evil world. He doesn't want the believers commit any more sins. And not only that, he says, once our sins are forgiven, he says he wants to deliver us from the present evil world. That means God does not want us to stay in this evil world forever. And he said how he's doing it, according to the will of God and our Father. Now the will of God and Father, somebody says, who is God and who is Father? He says, our God is Father. And when you say God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is triune God. But to let the other people know, our God is Father, and who sent his Son to die on the cross of Calvary for us, for our sins, and delivering us from this present evil world. That is the plan of God for the mankind. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. Most of the people say sanctify means making us holy. But the sanctified means setting us a separate, apart. Somebody apart from sinful life that has to be holy and acceptable to God. That's why he says sanctified. But if you read same chapter, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 6 to 9, it says there was a reason why God sent his Son into this world.
In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second.
See, now when he says, take it away the first and establish second, he's talking about the God made the covenant with the mankind. First, he started with the blood of the bulls and goats. But he says those kind of sacrifice, God didn't want it. Then somebody says, why did he do it if he didn't want it? This was just like pointing that blood of bulls and goats towards Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ says, it is written in the book, means Old Testament, that Jesus Christ should go and die for the mankind. So he said, I'm going according to what is written. And so God prepared the body for Jesus Christ, means human flesh, to come to this world and die for the mankind. And he says, read the verse 10 now. He says, this was to make us sanctified for the glory of God, means set us apart.
By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Now, by the which will means that's God's will. God had this will that he's going to send his Son. Son is going to die for the mankind and wash them thoroughly and separate them from the world. That's what we read in the beginning. He says, deliver us from the present evil world. That's what we read first. And so to deliver us from the evil world, we have to be sanctified. God cannot use unholy people, and God cannot take unholy people to heaven. So this was the plan of God. And the word of God says, when he shed his blood, he offered his body on the cross of Calvary. Then what happened? He says, now he sanctified us for once and for all. That means now we are separated. If somebody says sanctified means made holy and clean, that means we are not going to be unholy again. This is, he's saying, God washed us, cleansed us, and separated us. Now we belong to God. So it is up to us, after cleansed and made holy, to be holy and stay holy. But the word of God says in the book of Peter, he says, you became like the proverbs, the pig is washed and goes back to the dirt, and the dog goes back to the vomit. So people can go back to the world and defile themselves, but that is not the plan of God. God wants us to be stay holy, stay sanctified, and stay useful for the glory of God. That is the plan of God. But why he sent the Son? He sent the Son so he wants many more sons to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So that's why John chapter 1 verse 12 says, as many as received him, whom? Jesus Christ. To them he gave the power to be called the sons of God. So the God gives us authority, and power means claim to be sons of God. Why? Because we received Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, the word of God says, he takes the Son's spirits and puts in your spirit so you can call God Abba Father. That is the plan of God. Let's read James 1:18.
Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures.
Now he says, see, of his own will, this is God's will. And that's why he gave us new birth. And how that birth came, he says, it came by the word of truth. Now you know, when you say word of God, or the word is Jesus Christ. He says, word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So we're talking about Jesus. And Jesus Christ says, I am the truth. So he says, the word and truth can give you new birth. And he says, that new birth, when you're getting through Jesus Christ, that never happened before. Now, many people thinking, you know what? Adam was a good man, and God created Adam, and Adam was a holy man and perfect man. And so, if he didn't commit sin, we will be living on earth for eternity. And that's why many people and preacher preaching. But God doesn't say that. If you go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the Adam, I'm talking about the first Adam, was created from the dust. And when God breathed on him, he became a fleshly man. That means now he had the blood in his vein, and now he's walking, talking. He is a living soul. But if that Adam was not able to go to heaven, God used to come to earth. We never saw that Adam went to heaven and talked with God and came down. According to the word of God, he could not go there. And so his creation, the Adam's creation, was not the best creation like what we got. I'm going to prove it to you from the word of God. Let's go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and start reading from verse 45.
And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit.
So you see the difference? The first Adam was a living soul. And so Adam had the soul. But the second Adam is talking about Jesus. He was not made like the first Adam, but he is the quickening spirit. Means he has the power, his spirit has the life to give life to dead souls. Mean when Adam committed sin and spiritually Adam died. But Ephesians chapter 2, he says, Jesus Christ came and quickened our dead spirits. So Jesus Christ is the quickening spirit. That's why we say he's a fully God and fully man. So he came like a quickening spirit, means he came to give us life. Let's read verse 46.
Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual.
So he says, in the beginning, the Adam's creation was not spiritual. So what he says, it was not spiritual, but natural. So Adam was a natural man. He was not a spirit man. He says it was not spiritual, it was natural. And so afterward, that which is spiritual. Afterward means after Jesus Christ came, and once you receive Jesus Christ, our creation is much more better than the Adam was created. Go a little further.
The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven.
Now see, the first man is talking about Adam again. Adam was made from the dust. He was earthly man. But the second man means second Adam he's talking about. The Christ, he came from heaven. So that's the difference between first Adam and second Adam. Okay, go ahead.
As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly.
Now he's saying the people who were born in Adam's family, they are all having earthly body, earthly mind, and sinful habit because of Adam. But the Jesus Christ, he says, he came from heaven, and if somebody receives Jesus Christ as his or her Savior, then they become heavenly. That means as soon as you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are the heavenly citizens. We are not going to stay on this earth.
And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly.
Now, again he's saying, we have the image of first Adam, and that's earthly. He's talking about any person in this world. If they do not receive Jesus Christ, they will be stay earthly, and when they die, they go to hell. But the people who are earthly, the fleshly, but when they receive Jesus Christ, they get the image of heavenly. That means we are putting on Christ, and so we will go to heaven. We have become heavenly citizens.
Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption.
Adam was created, he had the flesh and blood. Even though he did not commit any sin at that particular time, but he was flesh and blood. So he said, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because just like when you go to moon, we cannot go to moon with this cloth. They have different kinds of cloth. So the same way, when you go to heaven, we need a heavenly body, spiritual body. We cannot go to heaven, according to these scriptures, with a flesh and blood. So that's the way Adam was. So not only that, when you have flesh and blood, that can decay. In a long period of time, we can get older. And so he says, but the Jesus Christ, he's from heavenly. His body was not corruptible body. His body was incorruptible. So once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we put on incorruptible body. Okay.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
Now here, Paul is saying, I am going to give you a mystery. Now many places Paul says mystery. When you say mystery, this thing was not revealed to the Old Testament people. Nobody knew that we are going to be transformed and we'll go into heaven and God is going to give us a new spirit body. So here he said, the word of God is saying, we are all going to change because of Christ. Go ahead.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
Now see, The born-again person, even the person dies, he said, when that person comes to life, when Jesus Christ comes, that person's body is going to be changed and transformed, and God is going to give the person who died in Christ and person who is living in Christ incorruptible body, and then we are going to meet the Lord in the air, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
Okay, we'll stop here. So here is saying that death is conquered by Jesus Christ, and now we are not living in a death, but we are living in victory. If you die today, we will be going to heaven. That's why Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Without Christ, there is no life. So I was trying to prove it to you. Adam's creation and our creation is different because of Jesus Christ. I'll give you one more verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
See how it happened. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that means if any man receives Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, this person becomes new creature or new creation. So what happened? He said, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are became new. That means once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God makes us a new creation or new creatures that was not exist before. That's what the meaning is. This is all new. Adam didn't have this experience, but we got it because of second Adam, Jesus Christ. And it's how it happens. Go to the 1 Peter chapter 1 and start reading from verse 23.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed. But he says, we are not born by the corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. Now the seed is the word of God. And the word of God is Jesus Christ. So once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that means you are receiving the seed of God in you. You remember that Mary, the angel was talking to her, and you're going to be pregnant. So much he told. But as soon as she said, let it be according to your word. And then the word became flesh. And Jesus came into her womb. So the word of God is Jesus Christ. When we are born again by the word of God, that means we receive Jesus Christ, and the Jesus Christ is the seed of God, is the word of God, incorruptible seed. Once you receive that, that means we are going to abide forever. We are not going to die because Jesus Christ lives for eternity. Once you receive Jesus Christ, we are going to live for eternity. And then he gives an example of the grass and flowers. Let's read this couple of verses. 24 and 25.
For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
Now see, here is given an example. For all flesh is as grass. And then he says, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. Now, there are all kinds of flowers. We saw, you know, we have a peach tree has the flowers. But the rain came, and so much heavy-duty rain came, but the flowers are still there. And the other tree, we have pear tree. Rain came, everything came, the flowers are still there. But in front of our house, there is another lady. She has some kind of blossom thing. One wind came and some rain came, and everything washed out. But I said, why God did not say cherry blossom flowers or some different rose flowers or something like that? Why our life is like a grass and like a flower of grass? Do you know? Because grass, he says, grass withers. In America, we cut the grass every 3 weeks or 4 weeks. And so that grass is, when you cut, is finished. And some other countries also, when the grass grows, they cut it and it dries up. But when you say your life is like the grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away. So our life is that fragile, like a flower of grass or just grass itself. So whose life? Any flesh. He says all flesh. Not only we, but every flesh is like that grass or the flower of grass. It will not stay too long. But the verse 25, he says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel preach unto you. So what he's trying to say, the word of God is Jesus Christ. He's going to live forever. Jesus Christ is the Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. So this word is given to us, and when we preaching the gospel, what is the gospel? Gospel is good news. What is the good news? Good news is that Jesus Christ is the real God. He died for us. He rose again. And if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will never die. You will go to heaven and you will have eternity with God. That's the word we are preaching. To get saved, you have to tell them, the person who comes to Jesus Christ, they have to repent of their sins. They have to give up the world and receive Jesus Christ. Then they will live forever. And that's the plan of God. And that's what we learned last week. What is the plan of God? Why Jesus Christ came into this world? To save us, deliver us, preserve us, sanctify us, and make us incorruptible and keep us with him forever. And not only we, but spread the word of God to others. Okay, I was going to finish last Sunday. We could not finish. So let's see how much time we have. We have a few minutes. What is the will of God for us? Many people say, I don't know what is the will of God for me. What should I do? And they get confused. Why people get confused and they don't know the will of God? Because they live in flesh. If you live in flesh, if you live in fleshly desire, and if you live in world, and you don't think about God, and you think about me and me and me, you don't get any vision from God. God doesn't talk to you because your mind is on fleshly things. What I'm going to eat, what I'm going to cook tonight. And yesterday I cooked this, and I don't know if I cook the same food, my husband will like it or not. They're always thinking what to cook, what kind of dress I should wear. They are always thinking, I'm not thinking you should not be doing that, but that this is not the main thing. The word of God is saying we are living in this world. We have a plan. God has a plan. So we have to understand the will of God. To understand the will of God, you have to do something. Let's read book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Now he says, I am going to request you, what you do, if you want to know the will of God, you have to present your body as a living sacrifice. That means that person who is born again, child of God, that person has to say, I am living on this earth. I'm not living for me. I'm living for God. That's the main thing the believers, they have to think. As soon as you are born again, your idea should change. I was dying. I was going to hell. Jesus rescued me. And there is a reason for this. My body was sinful. I was doing sinful activities. Now he came, he paid the price, and he said, I don't want your sins, so I'm going to vanish your sins. Once we receive Jesus Christ, our sins are completely washed away. Then we learn he wanted to deliver us from this sinful world. Then we learn that he wanted to sanctify us and separate us for his kingdom. Then we learn that he wanted us to be his children. That's why he sent his son. We became born again. So now we say, if you are born again, child of God, and you're living in this present world and living like a worldly person, then you cannot understand anything. So first thing you do, get the desires of your flesh out of your mind. Means, say, I am giving this body to sacrifice. Means, no matter the trouble, trials, persecutions, whatever comes in my way for the name of Jesus, I'm going to bear it. That's the kind of sacrifice. God is not going to say, okay, put another cross and let me nail it down to cross. He already took our sins on the cross. But he says, you take your cross daily and walk. That means we have to crucify our flesh and the fleshly desire. That's what God wants. When you do that, he said, that is acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What God wants from you, he says, I want you sacrifice your body and live for me. Means you don't live for your flesh, live for me. Read verse 2.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Now first he says, you have to sacrifice your body. And how? Living sacrifice, not a dead body. Means if you are alive, I am going to live for Christ. Somebody says, well, when I am 95 years old, I will go to church and I pray, then I would not have any desires for sin. That is already, your body is dead. Means you cannot do any sin. Once you are alive and your body is craving for sin, that's the time you sacrifice that body. When I wanted to come to the Lord's ministry, the man says, wait until you're 55 or 50 years old. I said, sir, the word of God says, give your youth to the Lord. Not when I'm 55, 65, when I get retired and then I work for the Lord and I give my youth to the company and factory. So that's why he said, give your body as a living sacrifice. And then he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now somebody says, I don't know how to do that. It's very easy. Once you are born again, child of God, you have the mind of Christ. We are not born again, we have the devil workshop in our mind. We always think about bad things, how I'm going to do wrong, how I'm going to kill somebody, how I'm going to steal somebody, how I'm going to deceive somebody. These are the things the devil brings. But he says, when you're born again, you have Christ living in you, so you have the mind of Christ. You have mind of Christ, so you keep on doing the things of God, so your mind will occupy with the godly thing. So when your mind is renewed, then what happened? He says, and be not conformed to this world, means don't be like worldly, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So he said, now I have the mind of Christ, so what I have to do? Keep on renewing, keep on making new. Don't make that mind dusty or what you call rusty. Keep renewing in your mind. Keep on thinking. That's when we take the communion, you know what he says? As many times as you take it, why are you doing it? Do it for the remembrance of me. Means keep fresh memory in your mind that Jesus Christ has redeemed me and belong to Christ. That's what he's trying to say. And then he says, when you do that, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Then you will know. Then you don't have to say, I don't know, I should go to Trinidad to preach, or go to India to preach, or go to Japan to preach, or go to some other country. Once you already dedicated your life to God and you are living in perfect will of God, then it's not difficult to understand the will of God. Then it will be very easy. Somebody said, did you pray about it? If you're living for God and you know what is acceptable will of God in your life, why God has chosen you? God has called me, just we read a few minutes ago, He has called us, He has given us eternal life to preach the gospel to others. It is not the pastor's job. It is every believer's job. Every believer should say, why am I born again? So we have to thank God for that. So the point I'm making, how can we know the will of God? We have to give our body as a living sacrifice to God. And then you say, Lord, here I am. What can I do for you? Then God will tell you what to do. How can God use you if you don't allow your body to be present to God? Once you are giving our life to Jesus Christ, then we will know what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the time we will understand the will of God. Okay, let's go to the 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 2. Read verse 1 and 2.
For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin.
Now see, here he says Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for our sin. So he took your sin and my sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, he knew not sin, but God put our sin on him and he became sin for us. So he took our sins and he suffered for us on the cross. He says, likewise, with the same mind, like what Christ's mind was, I do not want these people dying in sin. I'm going to take their sin and completely vanish their sins. And he says, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Now somebody said, this is for Christ. No, this is for us. If you sacrifice your body as a living sacrifice, then you are not going to live in sin. If you live in flesh, then you're living for sin. Let's read the verse too.
That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God.
Now, he means not Christ. He means whoever has dedicated his life to God, that person should not live any longer in this fleshly desire, but he should live for God and do the will of God. That's what the Christianity is all about. People are thinking, is it possible to live holy life? Yes, it is possible. Otherwise, God is not going to say, putting heavy load on you, you cannot bear it. He said it's easy. You have to crucify your body to the cross. And you have to say, my flesh, I'm giving to God, and I want to live by the Spirit of God. And that it is possible because God does not want his children living in sin. That's why Jesus died. And that's why we have to die for our sins. Go to the 1 John chapter 4, verse 14.
And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world.
We testify, we heard that Jesus Christ came to save the mankind. Now the mankind to save means what? Save from sin, sickness, disease, and death. If Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and we are still sinning, we are still sick, we are still dying, then his coming to die on the cross is useless. You understand? That means we have to receive, he died for my sin, so I should not sin. He died for my sickness, so I should not be sick. He died for my death penalty, so I'm not going to die, but I'm going to have eternal life. We die, but we are not dying. We are sleeping. When Jesus Christ comes and the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ will rise. So death is not for Christians. So he says, Jesus Christ came to save us. The world is going to hell. But we do not want to go to hell. That's why Jesus Christ came. We cannot crucify Jesus Christ every day, again and again and again. When I was young and I was listening to the man of God and I said, hey, nobody can live perfect life. And so we commit sin in the morning and the night time you go and ask forgiveness for sin and God will forgive our sins. So it's going like a circle. And there is no end of sinning. So the man says, no, the word of God says, confess your sins and forsake. Then you will have mercy. You cannot keep that sins for tomorrow. Just like I gave an example, one time one man stole a chicken and went to priest. And he says, I stole the chicken, what should I do? He said, okay, give $5 to the Lord. He thought, hey, I can sell the chicken for $25, $5 to God, so I'm still making profit. So he said, how about $5 more? I give you $10. So what? Because I'm going to steal a chicken tomorrow. So that is the mentality people have. God forgives, so keep on sinning. And you just come and say, Lord, forgive me, and he will forgive, and you keep on sinning. That's not a Christian life. He said, we have to crucify our life on the cross, so live for Christ. So sin should be out of our life. That's what the plan of God is. So once the sin is in your life, as a Christian, you will not have peace. You will have always tormenting spirit in your mind. You will not have confidence. What you're doing, you praying or studying the Bible or going to church or doing service to Lord and you keep on sinning, your heart is condemning you. Let's read the 1 John chapter 3, verse 20.
For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things.
Now here he's saying, if your heart condemning. Now he says, why he says, if your heart condemn, God is greater than your heart and he knows all things. That means you cannot hide anything from God. You can hide from your boss, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter or friend or anybody. They would not know. God says, I know everything about you. Book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13, it says, there is nothing hidden in the eyes of God, everything open and naked to his eyes. You can go to underground and start doing sin and maybe a cement concrete or this thick metal. Still God sees you. But David says, where I can go from the presence of God? Wherever I go, God is there. So God is watching us. We can fool people, but we cannot fool God. So he says, when this condition you have, your heart is condemning and you know you are wrong. So you keep on doing wrong, what will happen? You will have calluses. You will not feel later on any guilt. If God didn't like me stealing, why he didn't stop me for the first dollar? That's what people think. And so they keep on doing because God is approving. So we don't know. God is so patiently waiting. We learned last week. God is not destroying people because he is waiting that everyone should repent. But we are taking chances. Well, I didn't die yesterday, and I did horrible thing. So how can I die today? I did very little sin today. It doesn't compare with the last year or today. God is checking. Your heart is condemning. I am greater than your heart. What does it mean? Come to me, and I will clean your heart. I will give you a new heart. I will take the stony heart, and I'll give the heart that can understand me. And that's what the word of God is saying. Read the verse 21.
Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God.
Now see, if your heart doesn't condemn you, then you have confidence towards God. What does it mean? He says, when you come to worship, and if your heart is condemning, I cannot bless you. He says, when you know is something wrong with your brother or you did something, keep your offering there, go back to your brother, and then ask forgiveness, and then come back. So what God wants? Not our offering, not your tithe. He wants your heart first. And once my heart is belong to God, then he says, then everything what you have is belong to me. See, what the word of God says, when we give our money to God, then he says, wherever money is, there your heart will be. So our heart is belong to God. So once Jesus Christ is in me, then I can do anything for Christ. If you love somebody, then you can do anything. He said, I can give my life for this person. Why? Because that person might have done something to you, so you are grateful to give your life. So Jesus Christ gave his life for us. Once we know that, when you come to Jesus Christ, then my sins are forgiven, then I have confidence. I come with a happy heart, praise God, glorify God, and all the worries and everything, I keep it outside. We have to keep our mind focused on one thing. I want to do the will of God. Obstacle will come. People will try to pull you down. Our heart should not condemn us when you're going to worship the Lord or doing something for the Lord. So he says, your heart should not condemn you. Then you have confidence towards God. Not only that, something good happens. Let's read the verse 22.
And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
Why God listens to your prayer? He says, when you're doing everything according to the will of God, keep his commandments, and do things pleasing in his sight, that's why he says, whatever you ask, I'll give it to you. Some people come to me and say, why God listen to your prayer, and why God doesn't listen to my prayer? I said, God is not partial. But the word of God is saying, Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, it says, your sin has come between me and you. That's why I cannot hear and I cannot touch. My hand is not short, my ear is not deaf, but the problem is your sin. Once you take away the sin, God will listen to your prayer. Whatever you want, it should be fit in the will of God. Then God will hear your prayer. And so our God is a prayer-answering God, but he will not listen to sinners' prayer. A sinner's only one prayer God listens. Do you know what? Oh, Heavenly Father, forgive my sins, and I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That prayer he will answer. But if the sinner starts saying, God, give me this, give me that, and give me this. If I hit the lottery, I will give 50%, Lord. God doesn't want your lottery. God is having everything, silver and gold and everything. Only I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. You receive him and he will give everything what you want. So the word of God is saying he will supply your needs. We are running out of time. So let's rise and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling. And you want us to be holy. Because your word says, our God is Heavenly Father is holy, and be ye holy as our God is holy. So you have called us with a definite purpose to live in this world without sin. So we can shine and tell the world it is possible living in this fleshly body and living by the Spirit of God, and we can still defeat the flesh. We cannot living in this world, flesh ordering us what to do, but let us live in this world, the Spirit will tell the flesh what to do. So give us grace to live in the Spirit of God. Please God, give our body as a living sacrifice and do not be conformed to this world, but renew our mind, which is the mind of Christ, and live for you. Give us grace, Lord. All our weakness, shortcomings, we put it under the blood of Jesus Christ and live for you and for your glory. Without your grace, we cannot do anything. But the word of God says we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. So we commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.